chapter one.
Last week we talked about the greatest trait of the bride is hunger. They're very different from the normal Christians because they're desperate. They're hungry. They're dissatisfied. And that state is a very good state. And the second trait, as we discover in verse 4, let's read it together. Draw me away, we will run after you. The king has brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in you. We will remember your love more than wine. Rightly do they love you. Because of the hunger of the bride, and she cried out to the Lord. Then the Lord answered her, and the Lord brought her into his chamber. So the number two characteristic of the bride is that she lives from the chamber. It's called inner life. It's very different from the other Christian's life. What is inner life? As you examine this passage, it's all about the king with me and I with the king. The romance between the two parties. And it's a life of dining together. As we look at verse 4, she came into the chamber and she said, we will be glad and rejoice in you. We will praise your love more than wine. Rightly do we love you. And then verse 7 says that you whom I love, then you realize a person who's enter into the inner life, their prayer life will be completely changed. There's one sister who came to our church pursuing God. About a month later, then her relative came to visit her. And the relative is actually the pastor. And when they prayed together, that pastor says, wow, your prayer life has dramatically changed. Up for a person who has entered into the chamber, her language changed to, oh, you whom I love. You know, before you've entered in this type of pursuit, you don't dare to say words like that. Your prayers are usually very religious and mundane or technical. You know, some people's prayer are even sounds like they're preaching. I've even heard in the past of children praying like that because their parents always pray religiously, almost like a praying formula. But the bride is different. She entered into a deep union with the Lord. Her prayer's not, you don't hear the prayer of the bride praying for blessings. You know, just like in a couple, if between the husband and wife, you always talk about, oh, let's fix the faucet. Oh, kitchen has, the light is broken. Then you realize that the love is becoming weaker between the two. And in the same way, our love with the Lord should not be the same, and our love should increase. The love should never die down because of our busyness. That requires us to practice this inner life. You look at verse 12. While the king is at his table, my spikenard sends forth its fragrance. A bundle of myrrh is my beloved to me, that lies between my breasts. Verse 16, it says, behold, you are my handsome beloved. Yes, pleasant. Also, our bed is green. My beloved is like an apple tree. I've sat down in the shade in great delight. His fruit was sweet to my taste. And sustain me with cakes of raisin. Refresh me with apples, for I am lovesick. And you realize the inner life is about entering into the inner courts of the king, between the king and me, and I with the king. Every person who enter into this inner life, you'll begin to realize you have many love stories that you can tell. Every person should have that experience. And I've read a book by Lin Zhenxiu Hui, and the sister named Lin Zhenxiu, she wrote a book called "Benfang de Sheming," which means a vivid and expressive free life. And her Christian testimony really impacted me. And I also recommended this book to many people. After I've read all her books, I also thought everybody should be able to preach. Everybody should have the same testimony. If you have entered into that inner chamber, when you have that deep relationship with the Lord, it should be a lifestyle. When the bride has entered into a love relationship and love lifestyle. And this type of union will create strength for her to carry the cross. And and prompted her to carry the cross. And that's why the bride says, I'm willing to climb the mountain of myrrh. And she's not afraid of the cross. You know, I remember when I was in high school, and I've read Miss Guyon's book, a biography, Madame Guyon. And many of my colleagues at the time thought that the book was too hard to understand. But for me, I love the book because at the time I was going through a very fiery trial, persecuted by my family, and I can completely relate to Madame Guyon. But only one thing that was hard for me to comprehend is that she said that she loved the cross. She loved the suffering that God has given her. Then I read about Teresa's biography, and both of them are willing to suffer because of love. But later on, as the Lord brought me deeper into that inner chamber of love, and I suddenly understand more of God's heart. Because when you're suffering, you will taste a deeper, a more wonderful, abundant love of God. And that's why you love to embrace the cross. And the more you enter into that suffering, the more of yourself is broken off. And this is the exact testimony of the bride in the Song of Songs. She not only will carry the cross, but she loves to embrace the cross. And she will rise up as the powerful army of God. And she is filled with strength in her service. She has her own vineyard, and she has her unique calling to bring many more virgins to become the brides of Christ. And so as you progress in Song of Songs, you see many things happen to her. And all these things are because that she had entered into the king's chamber. It's not just theories and theologies, but this is a life that we're ought to live. In the whole Bible, even in the gospel, even though they don't say the word inner life, but you will find the same themes throughout the Bible. Let's go to Luke 17:20-21. The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you. And so the kingdom of God is not what you could observe through the physical eyes, but it's within you. This is inner life. Inner life is a inner kingdom within you. And the kingdom of the heaven, according to Jesus, that says the kingdom of heaven will be preached to all the earth. And only when the kingdom of heaven will be preached to all the world, then Jesus will return again. That's why Madame Guyon also preached the same. He says that the kingdom of God will only come through the inner life. When you have people here and there living out this inner life, letting God fully rule and reign in their lives, and through love, they're willing to obey 100%, letting God's will to completely be done in their lives, then the kingdom of God will come. Wherever they're at, whatever they go through, God's will be done. That's why Madame Guyon says, God's kingdom will come through the inner life. We see many people that put all their endeavor into building an outward kingdom, external kingdom. Oh, only if we have more people, thus many people. Let me give you an example. One time in a night watch service, uniting many different churches, and one pastor rose up and prayed, Lord, may your revival come to Taiwan, that you would establish hundreds of churches by 2015. Let's have X amount of churches, have X amount of Christians, and let the church be filled with Christians. And then the person next to her, the person next to her is very displeased with the prayer. And then she said, what kind of people do you want to fill your church? And that is true. If our church are filled with people who are coming to seek for girlfriends, how about the church being filled with people who are seeking prosperity for their business, or some people they're too bored with your life so that they come to church. Is that revival? When your church are filled with people, that doesn't mean that the kingdom of God is expanding. If your church has the church numbers has increased, that does not mean the revival has come. But the kingdom comes through inner life. A person must decrease and humble themselves before God. The kingdom of God only comes, which means his will can be swiftly be done, and the king has to reign in the person's life. If we're still doing what we like to do, and he's not truly king in our lives, that which means the kingdom is not manifested in our lives, because we're not willing for him to fully reign. And so that's why when we look at a church, we want to examine not the Sunday services, but the prayer meetings. Then we know the healthiness of the church, the healthy degree of the church. But if you examine many North American churches throughout the years, the prayer meetings are the least attendance of all the meetings. Many times, only three to five people join these meetings. My other colleague invited me to lead a conference, and at their church has about 200 people for Sunday services, and then for prayer meetings, they'll only have 10 people, and all of them are required to go because they're all staff. So in my church in LA, Saturday morning, we usually have about 25 to 30 people, starting from 9:30 to 1 p.m., Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday. And we start at 6 a.m. Monday, Wednesday, and Saturday, we have this morning watch. Another church also invited me to host a conference. And that Friday night, which is a Pure Hearts meeting, Pure Heart joined me to minister to that church. And after we preached the message, and I said, if the Lord has prompted you to open your voice and to lead us in prayer, then I realized, wow, the members from our Pure Heart group, one by one, they opened their mouth, loudly declared the prayers. And I felt the presence of God increased and increased. Then I know, I know that the members of the Pure Heart, these are real brides, real Christians. These are people that count. And sometimes, even if we just need one person that truly lives out the inner life, wherever they go, there will be blessings. Wherever they go, there will be helpful. Wherever they go, they will bring kingdom influence to that region. And my pastor, Pastor Rong, Sister Pearl Young, and she always required us, all the coworkers, to go back to the main branch to seek the Lord. She required every ministers to put the pursuit of the Lord as their priorities, and not ministry. She never asked us how many people are in your churches. But the question Pearl Young will ask us is that, are you abiding in the Lord? Because she knows if you truly abide in the Lord, and all the outer fruits will come. So in my pastor's heart, she only desires that herself and all her coworkers to abide in the Lord. She has no other plans that, her denomination will grow in such a degree. But her number one goal is to preserve herself in the presence of God, wanting to see God's will fully be done, and also requiring all of us to do the same. And as she does that, the numbers are increasing dramatically. And she never planted any church, but when she was still alive, we planted 26 churches in Taiwan. The seminar people came to survey us and to interview us. They asked us, what's the secret of the increase of your church? And then we know that it's because of inner life. When we abide in the Lord, then the outward fruit will appear. Inner life is about you and the Lord has a deep love relationship. It's not about just having a master-servant relationship or even a father-son relationship. This is deeper. We're talking about the bride and the bridegroom's relationship. And this is what happens inwardly. There's a student in Hsinchu, my old church, when he was still a high school student, he started the inner life, and she began to have a revelation of the bridal message, and the Lord revealed to him that he is his bridegroom, and brought him into a deep relationship with the Lord. Let's look at verse 5 real quick. I am dark but lovely, O daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon. Do not look upon me because I am dark, because the sun has tanned me. My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept. So the inner life will produce inside of you is this. Verse 6, that says that you will know that you are dark, which means that the light of God will shine in you to bring conviction. So the bride knows that their own vineyard they have not kept. And so God will begin to teach you to see your inner conditions more and more. Let's look at Galatians chapter 6, 3 and 4. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. And let's examine these things. Many Christians think that they're nothing, but and you will hear the statement from many Christians. They will praise, oh, we have such a great worship team. Oh, we have thousands of people. Oh, we have the most famous pastors. Oh, our Sunday school is so amazing. And all the praises that coming from out of their mouths is about others. But have they truly examined their own inner life? A person who lives out the inner life, one manifestation is that they will pay attention of the inward condition. They're easily convicted by the Holy Spirit. Actually, they will hate the old self inside of them. And they would see how ugly that old self is. And then this begins the Father's pruning within their lives. And after 6-7 years of pursuing the Lord, I've not even once understood what God meant by the old self. Many times I would think other people are persecuting me. Oh, I am great. I'm pursuing God. And then I just do the work of the gospel, spreading the gospel, and carrying people around me, discipling people, doing Bible studies. Everything that I do is about outward things. And then you pay attention to people. Oh, how come this person didn't show up? How come that person didn't show up? And what I'm building is an external kingdom. But the inner vineyard that I have not taken care of. Once I've entered into the inner life, then I suddenly realize, oh, I actually I am living in the self-righteous state, self-pity state. I always think, oh, I am better than someone else. That I love the Lord more than other people. Look, I'm persecuted, and I always want to lead more people to the Lord. But if you only have these things, but you never pay attention to the inner condition, then it's a very dangerous state. So when you praise, don't focus on the outward things alone. I was taking pride of our church. My church are filled with people with talents, filled with people, famous people, and praising the worship team with singing gifts and musical talents. And I was so proud of my church back then. But then I forgot to examine my own vineyard. How is my vineyard doing? I realized I actually have self-pity. I like to complain, actually. I like to point fingers at others. I never really examined the inward conditions. There are so many commandments that I've broken, that I've neglected. But one who practices inner life is one who will pay attention and examine their own inner lives. God will increase his conviction in the bride's life, and that the bride will humble themselves and become more and more humble before God. And then God will work this deep, precious work within the bride's life. And then you'll begin to hate your self life to a point that you don't even pay attention to that self, but you pay attention to God. And when you started out, you'll focus on self a lot. And many times you'll get into self-defensive mode. You pay attention of how people look at you. And in many instances, you're very self-defensive. You want to protect your self-image. But as you go deeper in the Lord, deeper into this inner life, you realize whenever you defend yourself, the Holy Spirit will poke your heart. And Holy Spirit will say, you are dishonest. You should be humble more. Pastor Wu also gave the same example. And when his leader was convicting him, telling him to change, he always defended himself and says, oh, I'm done, but I am not. And then the Holy Spirit will convict inside of him. And then he would apologize and says, what I said was not true. And the truth is this. And so Pastor Wu suddenly realized that the Lord started to convict him of his self-defense. We have natural weaknesses, but the Holy Spirit will quickly put his finger in your heart that you could repent. But those who don't practice this inner life, they have no feelings at all. They don't think that lying a little bit here, an expression of your old self here and there, is anything, because that is just the way of life. Only when you enter into the inner life, then you begin to see that light. So the first stage of the bride is that they will rejoice and delight in the presence of God's love. Then secondly, God will take them into a time of pruning. And then you'll be convicted to see the darkness within your vineyard, that you have neglected your vineyard. Then thirdly, of the manifestation of inner life is John 15, verse 5. Let's read this verse together. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. Okay, it says that he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. One of the greatest manifestations is that of the inner life is that you will bear much fruit. You'll never see a person who practices inner life that they're just selfishly pursuing God and only quietly sitting there. You can never tell by their outward appearance. It doesn't mean that if you talk less, then you're practicing inner life. A person who's truly living out that life, you can tell by their fruits. They have many fruit of life. The fruit that I'm referring to is the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5. Then secondly, they'll bear fruit of salvation. They will lead people to the Lord. Or they'll always have wisdom to exhort people, to bless people, to strengthen people. And then you'll see that their services are fiery, their services are passionate, and they're taking initiative. They're not a person who are passive. They always take initiative. They are filled with passion. That's why it is so important that we want people to start learning about this inner life before Jesus returns, that this gospel shall be preached to all the world. And if the church are filled with people that practice this in their life, then you'll realize every services will not have any lack because you don't have to beg people to serve. Everyone would take initiative to serve. Everyone will be proactive to serve. So Thursday night in our meetings, you realize in the church that people will come early even to help to serve serve in whatever needs we have in the church. So in a church who practices inner life, first of all, they'll not lack people to who serve. Number two, they'll not lack any financial needs. One time I heard a American pastor talking about a message about tithing. He gave such an excellent and clear message and the blessings that comes along with the tithe, with the tithing life. And I was so touched by the message. And after that, that message, I praise God for the churches, for the church that I've pastoring. Because when I reflected within my church, most of our congregations are giving more than the tithing, the normal one-tenth. And where I don't even have to tell them, oh, if you don't give, then you're missing out this. And that's actually God's secondary approach. Because you're telling people the requirement of the kingdom that you have to do this and do that in order to have these blessings. And yes, finally, the people are convicted to give, but that is not the number one way that God wants us to give. It should come from within. Every person should have that prompting of love from within to give and give more. And many times, I've have people in my congregation, I wanted to stop them from giving because they're so poor, but they still give. I think you've never seen any pastor who stops people from giving. But back in Los Angeles, that's my testimony. And I've met so many students that they gave so much to the church. That is the love of God in God's household. Unless every person practices the inner life, then his kingdom can manifest his glory and power and the abundance and the beauty. That we're not talking about only the spiritual man should practice inner life. No, this is for every believer. God wants all of us to abide in him and bear much fruit. And it says that whatever you ask for, I will give. And this is inner life. Many times you don't even have to pray. God will do all your desires. We have many testimonies like that. And this is different from many Christians who faces troubles and then they start to ask God. They're in the last minute they cry out to the Lord. But if you have a deep relationship with the Lord, even the thoughts that you're thinking, He will speedily accomplish them. He will speedily bring them to pass. So these are the greatest manifestations of inner life. Number one is that they will have a passionate love for the Lord. It's not only a logical relationship, but it's a deep, emotional, loving relationship. And within that lifestyle, the Holy Spirit will shine deeper, convict you deeper. And so that you will hate that old self and that God can start the pruning process. Then number three, that in your life, you will see that this person bears much fruit. Then you'll see love, joy, peace, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control, and endurance. And now you'll see more of these fruits growing in their life. Wherever they go, they become a blessing. They're not just fulfilling their duties, but it's naturally, passionately, they will serve people around them. How do we enter into this inner life? Let's come back to the bride. How does she enter into the inner life, enter the chamber? Number one is that she cried out. She's hungry, and she cried out. She said, "Kiss me with the kisses of your mouth. Your love is better than wine." She desires that relationship with the Lord, and she prayed all the way to verse 4. Then the Lord brought her into the chambers. How long does it take? How long is the process? We don't know. But I know that the more hungry you are, the more you prayed, then the Lord will speedily accomplish that. But if you just do it on a weekly or a bi-weekly basis to pray, then it'll take such a long time. We want an intensive time to seek and to pray before the Lord so that God will quickly bring us into that chamber. So once again, the most important thing is the hunger, the desperation. And another point I want to add, which is not on the outline, is is the hour pressure or suffering. For example, economic crisis. Maybe you got fired. You just lost your job. Or you ran out of money to pay your mortgage. You're in a desperate situation. Then suddenly your attentions are upon God. Or perhaps you've experienced some type of incurable disease like cancer, tumors. Suddenly you sought the Lord with all your heart, mind, and strength. Nothing else matters more. And it doesn't matter how much money you have. Money doesn't mean anything to you when you're sick like that. My brother had the same experience, because one time he had a tumor, and then he stopped his pursuit of money and started to attend to church. Sometimes the physical disease will help a person to enter into that pursuit of the inner life. Another case is that when their marriage has problem, their spouse had an affair. These troubles will also help you to pursue inner life. And based on my observation, a wife who has been abused by the husband, or her husband had an affair, and I can see that their pursuit of the Lord is very intense. But all the single people, they're usually just floating on a cloud. They're not walking on the ground. Brothers or sisters alike, they're not really serious about their relationship with the Lord. And for brothers' case, many times they could be distracted also by their pursuit of their career. And so, brothers and sisters, I want to exhort you. When you face a situation like these, don't feel sad. Don't look for help outwardly. But I want to encourage you to look inward. Your bridegroom is within you. Isaiah says that your creator is your husband. He longs to help you. He longs to be your comfort. He longs to be all your provision. You want to enter into the inner court. So I want to encourage you to stop telling your pain to people. What people can do is very surface. But when you return to inside, then you know that the Lord knows everything about you, and that all these trouble situations are there to benefit you. Yesterday, I received a phone call from a sister. She was talking to me about her husband's affair. And at the beginning, she fought with her husband. And then she read a book a testimony of a sister coming out of an affair. Then she talked to the author of the book, and the author told her, "Oh, you're very similar. Your situation is very similar to mine." And then later on, someone gave an inner life tape to this sister, and so this sister bought a whole bunch of tapes, and then she began to spread the inner life message, the tape series, to many people. And so yesterday she called me. She called the LA office, but no one answered the phone call. So she called me, and then she said, "Oh, you're Pastor Grace. Oh, you're going to Maryland," and we just chatted, and she told me, "Oh, you gotta understand that all of our sisters in New Jersey, many of the single moms are coming to the conference, and many of us who are afflicted." When she said many of those who are afflicted, then I can completely relate and understand. And I said, "Oh, from hearing your voice sounds so filled with joy. I can't even tell you're sad or you're afflicted." And she said, "Oh, the Lord has brought victory to my life. I started to come out from all my pain." And so I realized she has entered into this inner life, a deep face-to-face relationship to the Lord. And the Lord speaks to her constantly. And she said that many times I want to revenge her and write letters to my husband, but the Holy Spirit within me stopped me. And the Lord and And then when she started to read the Bible, and the Lord spoke to her, the Lord says, don't pamper your flesh. And so the Lord constantly speak to her. So she entered into this inner life, and the Lord started to bless her children. Her son and her daughter also are changed. And in the past, her sons, her children also told her to divorce her husband. But now her children are also filled by the Spirit. And then their children constantly encourage her and say, oh, mom, you have to be meeker. Mom, you have to be more humble. We can win this war. We can have the victory. And they're filled by the Spirit. And then her husband also changed. Her husband started to return home slowly by slowly. And once he returned home, he started to return home and started to stay home more. And he started to like his home better. And so I want to encourage our sisters. You want to win your husband by your humility. You want to use your meekness and gentleness to win your husband, and not scolding, driving him away. And I told her, wow, God is doing such an amazing work in your life. God has done 3/4 of the work, and God will continue to work. Sadly, many Christians don't have the right response. Many times they focus on the difficult situations. All they want is that God to solve the problem, solve the money, solve the husband, solve the children's problem. But that's not the heart of God. God wants us to focus on the King. Come and join and abide in Him. The Bible says, when you gain Him, you gain the medicine to heal your body, that He will heal everything, including your physical body. But the most important thing is that you must have the King. Just like Esther, Queen Esther, come to the King. When you have the King, up to half of His kingdom, up to half of the King's kingdom, He will give to you. So when He comes, you want to dine with Him, have a banquet with the King. So that don't tell the King to save the Jews the first time you meet the King. You gotta set up a banquet. You gotta woo the King. You gotta please the King. Dear brothers and sisters, learn to be wise Christians. Please the King first. Woo the King first. And then all these things shall be added to you. When a person has entered into the inner life, great are the blessings. This sister told me. Many times she would weep and speechless in the love of God. And she said that when she went to work, in the natural, she could be very distracted. She could think about her husband. She could think about the other woman that her husband is having an affair with, and all the wrong mistakes that her husbands are doing. There are many negative voices speaking in her mind. And then she's also an engineer. Sometimes she probably doesn't have the best mental space to perform her job. And then one day that the boss told her to the office. Then boss told her, wow, you did a great job. And the boss gave her 2 huge bonuses. When you enter into the inner life, then you realize your grace will also increase tremendously. God wants us to join Him first, to abide in Him. Whether the problems is in your homework, in your school, in your job, come and join the King first. I realize many Christians aren't like this. They would hunger a little bit, and then when trouble happens, they turn with their full strength seeking solutions for the business. And if there are pressure in the homework, then they'll ask a break from church, and then they will dive straight into their schoolwork. The only solution is that you enter into this state of peace and calm and seek the Lord. There's only one thing that's most important, is that you need to get into the Holy of Holies within you to gaze upon His beauty, so that your whole being can be at peace. Your salvation comes through quietness. Your strength comes from your quietness. But yet you do not choose peace. If you want to solve any problems in your workplace, if you want to overcome the finals that are coming, then you have to come into peace. You have to come into rest. This is This is something that we need to practice every day, entering into rest. Even before when you have troubles, we know that many brothers or sisters in our church, they're very young and they're very strong in their bodies. They're single and they're making lots of good money. And for them, perhaps it's a little bit difficult entering into inner life. What I said is true. However, but there's one kind of people that are very blessed. They're smart enough. They know that even before the difficulties comes, they will seek the Lord with all their hearts. In their journey of life, they could save so much tears and pain and sweat. You don't have to wait till cancer comes. You don't have to wait till marital troubles come to cry out to the Lord. I praise God that I'm that type of person. Besides the persecution in my homes, I sought the Lord before trouble comes. These 25 years of my journey, I see that I am blessed going in and coming out. I am so blessed in many ways. So I want to encourage you, use your days of peace to seek the Lord. You don't want to wait like Jacob when you face all these different troubles and then you lose the strength of your legs, then you depend on the Lord. You could just learn like Joseph, like Daniel. They just love the Lord. All they do is just to love the Lord. Like Elisha, they live an inner life. Elisha, before anything happens, he just follows Elijah and he wants the double portion. He desires more. And so you look at Elisha's life, it's filled with blessings on other people. I'm talking to all you single people out there. I want to encourage you, pray more and praise more to fix your gaze upon the Lord and fix your eyes on the inner Jesus within you. Spend time to draw near to Him. And even within, even in your work life, your busy life, fix your eyes on Jesus. You can enter into this inner life. And we know the human nature that we know that human nature is that we tend to cling to the Lord when things are difficult. And when difficulties ended, then we go back to our normal life. So that does not mean you've entered into the inner life either. Spend more time to draw near. Spend more time to seek His face. Even in your work, learn to pull back your mind, your thought life, to focus on the Lord. And let's look at verse 4. Enter into the chambers. How do we enter the chambers? Is through obedience. Always honor Him as your king. Obey the king. Submit to the king. And see Him, honor Him as your king. So number one is hunger and spend time. And then number two is you have to pay attention to obey. You have to pay attention to the authority of the king. Whenever the king's prompting inside of you, whenever the king is stopping you to do something, whenever the king is speaking to you, you want to pay attention. And Sister Robinson wrote this passage. It's actually an interpretation of tongues. And it says that when Jesus draws humans to Himself, He desires us to gaze on Him. And if we pursue Him constantly, then this will become a lifestyle. So at the beginning, we want to diligently seek the face of the Lord, constantly taking captives of all these thoughts, whether it's a feeling, an action, a thought. In God's love, we want to take captives of these thoughts. Sometimes we joke around with people, and the more we joke around, the more we might sin with our words. But when the Holy Spirit convicted you, we need to stop and pull back those words, pull back those thoughts, and quickly repent. It's easy for us just to not press that brake and just continue to joke around. And especially the times when we are pouring out our bitterness to other people. We're just speaking our pain. And then after we spoke for hours, we realize the other person can really help us. And we've wasted hours. But what if we would use that opportunity to speak to the Lord and just pour out all your bitter water to the Lord. Let the Lord listen to us. What can people tell us? People just say, oh, be more positive. you can really be comforted. So I want to encourage us to practice, to take captives of thoughts, your thought life, and especially practice quiet time in the Lord, waiting on the Lord, and you'll realize His presence is here, and you don't want to even move. That's the time when God will do the deepest work within you. He's taking out the stones. He's melting your inner man, and then He's cleaning out your thought life, and He's burning hunger and His love inside of our lives. That's in quietness is when God are doing the deepest work. Sometimes when you are filled by the Holy Spirit, and you just keep on laughing, 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 and sometimes you could enter into the flesh, but when you quiet down and let the Holy Spirit deeply, or sometimes you're like shaking, God could be releasing you from bondages. But after the release and you just quiet down, you realize His presence are increasing. And deep within your spirit, man, you could feel the workings of God in a deeper way. And taking captives of every wandering thoughts in your mind. And how do we do that? By opening your mouth, by saying, Jesus, I need you. Or simply just say, Jesus, Jesus. Or hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Then you could take captives of those thoughts. And use your emotions to want Him, desire Him. So Ms. Robinson says, if we are alert to pray, spend time to wait on the Lord, and then we will take back those wandering thoughts, then the transformation will begin to happen within you, so that we can dwell with the Lord. If we continue to maintain that restful and full of faith attitude, then the Holy Spirit will actively help us to stay in that abiding state in the Lord. And this is the inner light that God desires all Christians to live. This is our calling. One more thing. Why do I talk about the difficulties in the circumstance will help us to enter into the presence of God? When I first started out in ministry, I am filled by the Holy Spirit, but I have not received the gift of tongues. One time, I went to see my mentor, Sister Pearl Young. I told her, I haven't received tongues yet. And when I was serving in my church, and that sister is very sharp with the words, and that sister always says, oh hey, you don't have tongues yet. So I told Pearl Young, and Pearl Young told me, what you should do is that you should rise up in the service. Next time when you're preaching, just tell your congregation that you haven't received tongues. And at the time, more and more people are being filled by the Spirit and receiving the gift of tongues. And Pearl Young told me to confess that to my whole congregation. And I know that I have to obey. That's a lesson that I'm learning at the time, 100% obedience. And after speaking to her, on the way home, returning home, I remember I felt like I was going to my death sentence. I was thinking, how can I tell my congregation that? What kind of topic am I going to preach in my sermon that can link to telling people that I don't have tongues? That felt like a death sentence to me. So you could see how great is your flesh. And when she gave me this command, and whether I do or not, my mentor wouldn't know, but I know inside of my heart I have to obey. But so all of a sudden, I die to myself. And when there's this difficulty in front of me, and you think it's funny now, but actually, I realize how great is my face. After 2 weeks will be me speaking. So every morning I just come and draw near to God and love God, and then also seek God's will. But I ask the Lord to have wisdom to how to communicate that to my congregation. And then within that 2 weeks, I felt that flesh has died, and that presence of God has just increased. And I just enter into a deeper state of God's peace and rest. Then I realized what is hindering me to enter into the inner life is that love of my face. It's my pride. And that's what's hindering me to enter into the inner life. And it's when I felt that I'm going to my death sentence, suddenly I can humble down. And then suddenly my mindset has shifted. Then suddenly I could see everyone else as greater than myself. All the brothers and sisters better than me. More spiritual than I am. And finally, I understand Bible's commandments telling us to see others better than yourselves. This is not striving. The only way that you can fulfill that scripture is to humble yourself and to cast out the self. And at that moment, suddenly my eyes are open to see others are better than myself. I'm not struggling. And all the self-preservation was broken. And I can enter into rest and peace to speak to our congregation. And at that moment, I understood what it means to live an inner life. Whatever you do, you're living before the God, the Lord inside of you. Brothers and sisters, we have to understand many times is the self that's hindering us, the preserved self that are hindering us to enter into inner life. And God will raise up many circumstances through your bosses, spouses, children, finances to break you. I advise you to die quickly. I advise you to humble quickly so that you could quickly enter into the presence of God. Day by day, live before the throne of God. And even till the morning that I was supposed to preach, I don't even have a sermon. But I wasn't nervous at all. That is called rest, a true rest, because you trust. There is a deep trust within me, trusting that God will deliver the message. And so right before the service, about 40 minutes prior to the service, the Lord started to download the full message. And it's such a beautiful message. And after I preached, many people come to the front to repent, to weep before God. And I could truly say that there was a revival that started in our church. So I see that it is self that's hindering God. So when God raises up different circumstances, we want to quickly humble ourselves and not preserve the old self, old life. Preserve your face. And many times we're striving to see, to grasp more of God's presence. But actually, all God wants is us to humble ourselves and to let go of the self. Then the Holy Spirit will fill you. We should not limit our experience of the presence of God within meetings. Because God's presence are natural more abundantly in the meetings. You could feel God's electricity, all kinds of different manifestation of the Spirit. But we're talking about a deep, sweet love that you share with the Lord. If you haven't had that experience, then you haven't entered into the inner life. Because you're only experienced that power in a meeting. And then when you return home, you still have the same anger issue. You're still sinning the same. You still have the same weaknesses. Those who practice this inner life, there's a consistency, there's a constant flow in their love relationship with God and their spiritual growth. And so if we continue to walk in that humility, that trust, that faith, then the Spirit of God will actively dwell inside of us. And that's my experience. And so that one instance, I am enlightened to this inner life. And I realize not too many people are truly living that inner life from within. It's a deep, deep peace and deep, deep rest from within. And at the time, we were meeting at the 10th floor, and I live in the 9th floor. And the first thing I return home after the meeting is that I will draw near to Him. I will speak to the Lord. And whatever I do in the presence of God. And there is a unceasing a flow of His presence. And this is what we're pursuing, to dwell in His presence. I pray that God will draw us. God will increase our hunger so that we will spend more time willingly obeying the Lord, actively pursuing Him to dwell in His presence.